In honor of Military Appreciation Month, Verizon thought of a lot of different ways we could show our appreciation, like rolling out the red carpet, giving you your own personal marching band, or throwing a bumping shindig. At Verizon, we're doing all that in the form of special military offers. That's why, this month only, we're giving military and veteran families a $200 Verizon gift card and a phone on us, with a select trade-in and a new line on select unlimited plans. Think of it as our way of flying a squadron of jets overhead while launching fireworks. Now that's what we call a celebration, because we're proud to serve you. Visit your local Verizon store to learn more. $200 Verizon gift card requires smartphone purchase, $799.99 or more with new line on eligible plan. Gift card sent within 8 weeks after receipt of claim. Phone offer requires $799.99 purchase with new smartphone line on Unlimited Ultimate or Postpaid Unlimited Plus. Minimum plan $80 a month with autopay plus taxes and fees for 36 months. Less $800 trade-in or promo credit applied over 36 months. 0% APR. Trade-in must be from Apple, Google, or Samsung. Trade-in and additional terms apply.
Hey Zed Heads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Eric.
And I'm P.E. Lonnie.
Woo! And this is the Cast of Us, episode 645.
And this episode, we're going through your feedback for The Last of Us, season 2, episode 5, Feel Her Love.
Ooh, my goodness. What kind of podcast are we doing, guys?
Feel Lonnie, it's so great to hear you and see you. It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
Way too long.
Yeah, I was looking at, I don't know if this is actually the last time you were on, but you guessed it about 12 years ago. It was number 117 when we interviewed Angela Kang together.
That's right.
I remember.
I think that was maybe the first time I appeared, but I did do another episode. I feel like I did one and Karen was on it as
you
well.
You did. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you set up that Angela Kang one. That was really great.
And remember, that's pre- showrunner Angela Kang. Yep. She was a
That's
writer
right. She
at
was
the
just
time.
Writing. Yeah.
It's crazy,
yeah.
right?
And we've been doing a career. Rewatch lately, and if you look, like, we're in episode 4 right now, and it's like Glenn Mazzara Scott Gimple wrote one, Angela Kang wrote one. It's all like the who became the later showrunners and went and did spin-offs and everything. It's pretty cool. Anyway,
so cool.
Great to have you on. It's so good to see you and to have you on. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for the invite. It's great. You know, I just tried to sign up for the Patreon and then Jason reached out again. I'm like, oh, friends, we're back.
So have you seen The Last of Us?
I have seen The Last
good.
Of Us, you know?
Convenient.
I think that's
That'd
convenient.
It'd be a little weird being on here if you hadn't.
Yeah, know, tell me right? your, just, you know, how do you like it? What do you think?
Great. Well, thanks for asking. I'm not a gamer, so I did not play the video game.
Cool.
But I did really, but I enjoyed the first season, and not just because Pedro Pascal is zaddy. it was incredibly compelling. I thought the acting was great. And so I was so excited for season 2 to come back. And then I just missed the drop. So like I missed the first few episodes and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, these podcasts are popping up. I need to watch it again. Mm-hmm. It has been so scary. This season,
yeah.
I feel like it was really scary first couple of episodes. And I actually got spoiled at what happened in episode 2. So it wasn't as shocking to me, but still, I mean, it was incredibly compelling and scary. And just the acting for everybody in that scene was just amazing. I had to close my eyes and then watch it again and those kinds of things. So I've been really enjoying it.
Good. That's so cool. Yeah, I'm glad to hear. And the fact that you're not a gamer is cool because we love to get different perspectives. I always worry that we go too much into the whole gamer thing because I know most people aren't. Most people who watch the show didn't play
of course.
Games,
yeah.
you know? So it's fun to, because it's hard for me to, both of us, I think, to separate that out. And I see stuff that's from the game and I just get so giddy because it's so close. But then I wonder if people who never played the game still appreciate it. And it sounds like you do.
No, absolutely.
That's cool. Well, before we get into the feedback, I just I listened to the HBO official one and it was great. I recommend people listen to that if you want to get more Last of Us content. And Neil Druckmann said one thing that I thought was really interesting. He said faith is, he was talking about, of course, the Seraphites. He said faith isn't inherently good or bad. It's powerful, and in the wrong hands or under the wrong leadership, it can be devastating. Hmm. And I think that's a good thing to keep in mind as we talk about this, because, you know, the Seraphites, they do some pretty horrific things, and I talk about it being in the name of their faith, and I don't want people to misunderstand and think that I'm down on all religion or something like that. Mm. So I think he really encapsulated that well, you know?
I don't think anybody would mistake what we're talking about with the Seraphites as being against all religions. I mean, I think,
I hope not.
I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know if too many religions currently right now who get praise if any sticking a sickle and disemboweling people hanging from a tree. So I think it's okay to say we're not talking about
three or four. Yeah. Okay. All right. That said, let's get into listener scream, snarls, and clicks.
Click, click. I'm a zombie guy.
So we'll take turns. Pilani, we'll go first.
Ooh, I get to go first. Great. Thank you. All right. So Kirk Manley.
Kirk!
Kirk Manley. Hearts, hearts. Rocked LA becoming Joel in front of our eyes. Spores! Jesse to the rescue.
That was just quick encapsulation.
Nice.
Yep, so.
Next one here is from Jenny Ryan. Just wanted to know why no one ever walks around in an apocalypse with braces. Surely someone had braces when the world ended, and they've had to live with them for 20 years.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you'd be able to figure out a way to get them off, right?
Yeah.
I think so. And a lot of people have those ceramic ones, too, that I think would pop off more easily than the,
the
metal ones.
But no, it started in 2003, so I don't know if they were that advanced back then. Maybe they were, but even if you had those metal ones, I know if it was me, I'd be getting in there with pliers and pulling them out.
Oh, gosh.
I know. That's a nice visual. Lisa Edmondson Walker says, it's hard to remember to breathe while watching the show. Between the infected, the scars, the wolves, the spores, it's all so intense. I do love that they use Stanley Park in Vancouver for the park scenes. I did not know that, but that's cool. Oh.
Maria Lawson says, spores! That basement was probably my favorite set piece of this entire series. I love that we have both the evolution of the fungus and the infected in one episode. I feel like Eddie needs a serious decontamination shower before seeing Dina again.
Oh my God, no kidding, right?
Oh, gross. Oh, gosh.
Let's see here. Beth Nichols. Jeebus. I've just finished watching episode 5. Things have certainly ramped up. Does anyone else have to stop the show occasionally to take a short break when it gets too violent or scary? I had to stop 3 times today. I don't like seeing Ellie get so violent with that woman at the end. I guess we are seeing the last bits of her innocence disappearing now as it leads into a flashback at the end. However, it was nice to see Joel again.
Yes, it was, girl.
I wanted
yes,
to ask you, do you like that, Pilani? Was that a pleasant surprise?
I knew he was coming back. I knew that Zaddy was coming back, but I need more.
Nice.
Yeah, I was glad to see him. Do I ever take a break? No, when it gets violent or scary.
No, I don't.
I don't know if, I've definitely stopped playing games because it was just getting too intense, you know, and I needed to take a break, but I don't think I've ever stopped watching a movie because it was getting too scary, but it is, I mean, I'm loving how scary it is this season for sure.
Yeah, it is terrifying at times.
Carlos Frederick says, hey, all, the air sure was dirty tonight. My favorite was when Dina tells Ellie, yes, you would come out shooting because you're a little crazy, and that's exciting. LMAO. She was so on point for saying that. Not to mention Jesse showing up and saving their asses. The Nora scene I thought was fucking great. Whereas Abby, no whack. What does that mean?
I don't know. You're going to say it one more time, Jason, so we'll see what happens the second time around.
Where's Abby? No whack. Again, you could really see the darkness in Ellie at that moment. Good for her. Yeah, kick that ass. I don't know what that means.
Okay, so from May Almardini, so creepy. Interesting to see the torture scene of the wolves versus the Scars. The Scars won't give up under any conditions, but the wolves are ready to spill, literally and figuratively. That was a hard scene to watch for me. Final thoughts. Through the episode, I was struggling with thoughts about losing Dina, but then realized it was about her losing Joel and refocusing on her mission. The last scene was epic. I hope we see more of Joel, me too, girl, and get the truth next episode.
Yeah. Get the truth about what? I wonder what she means about that.
Well, I'm guessing Maze means just the truth about what Joel did in Salt Lake.
Oh, yeah. What happened with Eugene, maybe?
Oh, maybe that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or how Ellie knows, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. We know what he did.
Killed well, we know. But we also know he lied to her. So, you know.
Yeah. That's fair.
All right. Janine G. Okay, I get it now. Do not F with the Seraphites. They are kind of badass. I'm so glad Jesse saved Ellie and Dina because I couldn't take another scene with the lovey-dovey stuff. I'm here for revenge, not romance. The introduction of the spores looked like Ellie was scuba diving in the ocean. All of the weeds, people stuck in the walls, and mushrooms looked like coral, and the spores floated out of the guy's mouth. It was pretty cool. And lastly, I'm so glad we're getting some more Joel this season.
Hearts. Can't argue with any of that.
No. I like that. I don't like the romance either. I'm all about the action and the revenge.
Yeah.
So, Janine, you and I could go out for drinks and enjoy this.
It's a little too forced cutesy. That's my problem with it.
Yeah.
Matt King says, at least Ellie had got some revenge over Abby's group by effectively killing Nora. We finally got to see Pedro again at the end, so that was a nice moment. I've just watched Gladiator 2, and it appears Pedro may be looking to take over from Sean Bean. Oh, you just spoiled Gladiator 2 for me, as the one doomed to die in every show. Dina continues to be the MVP of Season 2. It'll be interesting to see how they handle Jesse arriving to throw a spanner in the works.
Well, I don't feel bad about getting that movie spoiled for you. I would feel bad for you if you had already watched the movie. I saw it and wow, what a steaming pile that movie was.
Makes me feel better about it.
It was not gonna watch it. It was like, how can this be this bad? And it was
pretty bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty bad. Yeah. It was almost, you could almost sleep through it because it's just, there was nothing compelling other than the attractive people in it.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good to know.
And there was almost none of that for me. So
almost Pedro. Okay. Well, Dobolino Bob Grippy says the hallway full of infected stuck to the wall was something out of Aliens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quote, you tell me, man, I just work here. Totally awesome.
Right.
The contrast of Ellie torturing Nora to Ellie waking up to Joel and saying, hi, is amazing. What has to happen for someone to go that dark? Ellie is addicted to revenge. She'll lie and turn her back against her friends and safety to get it. And Enid is a spy. Seriously, though, was there ever any follow-up, Kirkman, Janol, or the actor, on what she was about to say to Carl when Alexandria was suddenly overrun with wolves?
Yeah, Gimple said that she was about to admit she was a spy. So you're right.
Oh. Okay. Well, thank you.
Not at all true.
Can't believe that's still a thing. Okay. Jennifer Ringham. Can someone remind me, does Ellie know how she is immune? It seems strange that she would be traveling with a pregnant woman, and the thought wouldn't cross her mind that if Dina is bit, her baby might be immune. But also, if I was Dina, my first question would be, oh my God, how, when I found out Ellie was immune? But I guess they have more important stuff to worry about. I'm sad that Nora has to die. She seems like a badass and someone we would have been rooting for if the story was flipped. I'm watching You on Netflix and was surprised to see that she is one of Joe's love interests. But then again, she did call Joel a little bitch, so maybe I don't feel that bad.
Also on You is Janine from Handmaid's Tale. So I got to watch that. I missed the last season of You, the one previous to this one, but I've seen all the other ones. I need to catch up on.
And I got to go back. I don't think I don't think there's any way that Ellie could know how she was immune.
No,
Right.
I mean, the only person that, because actually her mom lied to Marlene saying that she got bit after the baby had come out. So,
You'd think maybe Marlene might have
figured it out.
Yeah, or at least suspected what really happened, you know? But I don't think Ellie knows.
No, because she didn't know who Marlene was when they met, right? Yeah, so it's not like they had a lot of time to say, oh, by the way.
Yeah, I think we saw the whole, like, entirety of their relationship on the screen. Yeah. All right, here's the first call from Steve Brown.
Hello, the cast. This is Steve, and this is going to be for The Last of Us, Season 2, Episode 5, Feel Her Love. So we're in a hospital, and this, I don't know who this new woman is, this new character. Ooh, so it's now an airborne virus, not just... from and just sealed them in the basement. Oh, not stupid, non-school oriented. Yeah, it's, that's you, Ellie. What building are they in that has this huge theater and all these guitars? Oh, desiccant packages on these guitars, but they're well preserved anyway. So Feel Her Love is on the wall. I guess that's kind of a mic drop, but not really. More evidence that nobody's a good guy in this day and age, that the wolves are bad, the scars are bad, everybody's bad. Oh, but Dina makes a point here that no matter what Joel did, he didn't deserve what they did to him. And she was 8 years old when she killed her first man. Haunted, but empty. Huh, just like us. This whole sequence is very, very tense in this building that's obviously not going to be completely empty, right? Oh, so they found one of the stalker infected. Oh, there's a bunch of them in here. Of course, I knew this building wasn't empty. Oh, somebody just saved them. Is it Tommy? Oh, it's Jesse. They're doing a lot of shooting, so the wolves should be coming after them, right? That is who's after them. But they're in the park now. Not Central Park. That's another show altogether. Okay, so Tommy's with them, and they left the night after these two left. Oh, that whistling language. The scars are in the park. Oh, they're disemboweling him. At least we can... Oh, the intestines are... Oh, Ellie found one of the people that participated in Joel's killing. Hey, this is Nora. Oh, she fell down the elevator shaft, and now she's at the second basement level. That's where the infected are, right? Ooh, it's all over the walls, and it is in the air. There's bodies in the walls. Whoa, that look on Bella Ramsey's face. Ooh, where is she? Huh. Wait, what was that at the very end there? It's a memory of Joel walking in on... All right, only like two more episodes left? Dang.
It's Joel's ghost.
He does those. Oh, we call him Live Steve's. He calls in and just kind of narrates as he goes through.
Always.
That's only for Steve, by the way. If everyone did that, it would drive us all nuts. But it's really fun to hear his reaction, especially when something crazy happens. All right, here is Stacy Metcalf, who says, another anxiety-driven episode full of action. I was so thankful that Jesse showed up to save the day. The Ellie and Nora showdown had me thinking Nora was going to get away, but I was definitely wrong. You were. The whole wing of, we don't know for sure, but probably half wrong. The whole wing of spores was incredible, so creepy and amazing. I kept waiting for Ellie to put one of the spores trapped people out of their misery, but unfortunately it didn't happen. That is actually a really good point. Once Ellie caught up to Nora, I found myself smirking and cheering for her and then questioning my sense of humanity. Wait, cheering for... Oh, Ellie, not Nora. Okay. I love the plunge Ellie took into her revenge-filled soul. That's a great way to put that. Mm-hmm. Knowing Nora held her down as she watched the torture of Joel made me want revenge for her. Mm-hmm. Ellie's I Know was brilliantly performed by Bella and leaves me wondering if she really did know. That's a good point. Everyone presumes that she did know, but she could have just been saying that.
That's true.
Ready for the return of Joel with the awaited flashbacks. Great episode. P.S. I love my hex clad pants, Ben. Oh, Ben's not here to to respond to that, but I'm sure he'll be happy.
Oh, people do. People absolutely do love their hex clad. This is true.
So funny. So I have a question. Mm. If the people who are trapped are killed, does it stop the process?
Well, they're not going to respirate anymore, I guess. But
yeah,
right. That's what I was wondering. Like,
you mean? What do you mean by the process? Like.
Like, does it stop the breathing and the spread of the spores, you know?
Yes, I think so, but I don't know if that has much impact on the outside world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But But yeah, I think the way they described it on the official HBO podcast was something like they're just in this symbiotic relationship where they're spore producing machines and they have to sit there and suffer, you know?
Yeah.
It's really horrific.
Oh yeah, I definitely got the sense that they were being kept alive for that purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
They're still alive.
And
there
may be some awareness there too, which they were saying, you know, her mom felt bad about bad about leaving him down there, but she doesn't know the half of it.
Mm-hmm.
True.
So fun. All right, what's next?
Well, Jess Jones has a comment. OMG, 3 exclamation points. These stalkers are insane, and so are the Seraphites. I know I'm sounding like a broken record here, but another intense episode that literally had me on the edge of my couch, and the only thing I could repeatedly say was, oh God, oh God, oh God. And almost cover my eyes because I was afraid of how much they were going to show. God damn. Woo! What a ride. I'm fearing for the gang in each situation and feeling their terror as I watch each new discovery. I know you guys have mentioned the spores, and I'm so happy for the gamers to finally see this on screen. It was incredible. What a set. But man, what a way to go, huh? Breathing in air and breathing out spores forever. Absolutely horrific. And the big reveal. Ellie knows what Joel did. But when did she learn it? Is this why 5 years later she and Joel were in such a fight? Like, did he keep it from her for over 4 years and then she found out and shut him out? I have too many questions and thoughts. I won't be writing in next week because I'll be on a boat in my floppy floops. So until the finale, bye.
That's bye, Jess. Funny. I thought Ellie could have maybe deduced, you know, what happened, but maybe we'll find out in a flashback specifically.
And I got to say, the spores in the show, honestly, yes, the spores are cool in the game, but the way these were depicted in the show made them so much cooler. It's not even funny. Mm. I don't know what it is, but something about that, the way it was depicted, the way it is maybe an evolution of this versus just the standard default. It just, I don't know, hit really well.
Yeah. I don't know if this is right, but it seems to me that in the game, they look more like somebody blew a dandelion, you know?
Yeah.
And they're just like little speckles in the air. But in the show, it was more like wispy, dark, dusty, grimy.
The darkness of it. Yeah. Something about that. Yeah. And the way that you can see the eddies of the breath kind of churning it around in the air and then just go, oh, wonderful.
And, good stuff. And such an immediate impact too, right? It's like Nora was in there and just a few minutes later, she was already sort of wheezing. Yeah.
And I think that was the point of bringing in those spores, just so there could be this environment where Nora expected Ellie to be coughing too, and she wasn't, and it just made it all the more horrific for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Alma Contreras. Holy guacamole. This episode was really intense. At first, during the Dina-Ellie dialogue, I was rolling my eyes a bit, but then we got into some crazy and terrifying stuff. Those freaking infected stalkers are creepy AF. I was seriously scared. I don't like how they move, almost like demonic creatures or something. Thank goodness Jesse showed up to save the day. Whew. I feel like we missed a bit because all of a sudden Eddie was right up on Nora. Oof. And how crazy was both the spores scene and Ellie going ballistic on Nora's scene. I was seriously holding my breath throughout. I was wondering if the spores would have any kind of effect on Ellie. Guess not, LOL. Ugh, how is Ellie going to get out of B2? Stay tuned till next week.
You know, one thing we didn't say is they had these three levels of this basement, B1, B2, B3. They said B1 was empty. We saw it was on B2. So they're not going to have a B3 without something happening there, I presume, at some point. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay.
That's Michael, what are you going to say about that?
D from Boston says, hey, I've never emailed before, but decided now. You guys are my go-to Last of Us podcast. Happy for the new season, of course, but even happier having you guys along for the season. Well, thank you. That's really nice. I was slacking until I binged everything a few days ago, which then allowed me to binge you guys at work. As someone who's played the game multiple times, I'm really enjoying the season. I wasn't someone complaining about the lack of infected in the last season, but it is nice they've upped their infected game so far this season, with episode 2 making me think of Days Gone and the hordes of infected. Great zombie game, by the way. I've heard that a lot, but I've never played it myself. Oh, and I used to watch Walking Dead weekly, but last I remember was the gang escaping a place they thought was a sanctuary, only for them to get captured to end the season. Wasn't that every season? No, I'm just kidding. For some reason, I never got back into it, so I'm so many seasons behind, as well as so many spinoffs behind. If I did ever go back and binge them, at least I have all your podcast episodes to listen to as well. Sorry for the rambling. No rambling there. But yes, I recommend going back and watching all of it and listening to us, because it's awesome.
It is awesome. I agree.
In honor of Military Appreciation Month, Verizon thought of a lot of different ways we could show our appreciation, like rolling out the red carpet, giving you your own personal marching band, or throwing a bumping shindig. At Verizon, we're doing all that in the form of special military offers. That's why, this month only, we're giving military and veteran families a $200 Verizon gift card and a phone on us, with a select trade-in and a new line on select unlimited plans. Think of it as our way of flying a squadron of jets overhead while launching fireworks. Now that's what we call a celebration, because we're proud to serve you. Visit your local Verizon store to learn more. $200 Verizon gift card requires smartphone purchase, $799.99 or more with new line on eligible plan. Gift card sent within 8 weeks after receipt of claim. Phone offer requires $799.99 purchase with new smartphone line on unlimited ultimate or postpaid unlimited plus. Minimum plan $80 a month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months. Less $800 trade-in or promo credit applied over 36 months. 0% APR. Trade-in must be from Apple, Google, or Samsung. Trade-in and additional terms apply.
Well, let me tell you what Josh Gell says. Bella Ramsey, giving shades of Christian Bale's Batman. Where is she? Another superb episode of The Last of Us. I really like the introduction of the spores in the show. Poor Leon. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Poor Leon. I am so glad to see Jesse join Ellie and Dina in Seattle. They needed a mature adult with them. LOL. He is pissed at them. Can't wait to see Tommy again either. Me too. If I ever were to lose you, I'm not crying. You're crying. Yeah, that was good. Mm-hmm. This episode alone, Bella should get an award. What an amazing performance. Mm-hmm. I was watching a YouTuber talk about this episode, and he had an interesting take. In previous episodes, we've seen what the Seraphites are capable of. What if this episode was the first time we're properly introduced to them? I think that whole sequence in the park would have been even more terrifying. 10 out of 10.
I don't understand that take. Do you guys?
Yeah, he's saying that what if this was the first time we were introduced to them?
Mm. Oh, versus instead of not seeing them before. Yeah.
Instead of kind of getting the whole like, oh, they're actually really nice, who are just victims of the WLF, versus holy shit, these people are insane.
Right. No, I like it the way it went, because I just love the way this show depicts the complexity of humanity, where you think you know somebody and then you see this other dark side of them. That's what it's all about.
Nice.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, Andrea Abarca. Hello, Jason, Lucy, and the gang. Hope my favorite podcasters are all doing well. I had to write in about the latest episode of The Last of Us just to say, wow. I don't know if it was well adapted or not from the game, but since I'm not a gamer, I just enjoyed it for what it was. Scary, brilliant, emotional. It had it all. I'm a huge fan of Bella's, and I know there's been criticism of them. Don't care. As far as I'm concerned, they are brilliant. From the beautiful quiet moment in the theater with the guitar, I'm not crying, you are, to the confrontation with Nora, I loved Tati Gabrielle on You. So the confrontation with her and Bella, the chemistry between them was off the charts. But that moment with the red lights, when Ellie's eyes look black and she says, I know, it sent a chill down my spine. Mm-hmm. No emotion, just pure vengeance. How Bella can go from sweet to killer, I just can't see how anyone can think she's not amazing and powerful. And then Joel, heart. I can't wait to see him again. As for the rest of the episode, I found the spore-infected sad, but also beautiful. The scene was amazing. I do confess, being scared for Ellie momentarily, I wasn't sure if she would be immune there as well. The Seraphites are terrifying, and my favorite infected are the stalkers, though I would definitely not want to run into one. choosing to ignore the negative people and just loving the show. Until next week, don't get bit. Well, that's the best way to do it, I think. Just choose to ignore them.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is nice every once in a while just to point out that we're choosing to ignore them. I like it. Because I agree with everything you said.
Indeed.
Like hardcore. Okay. Here's a call from Archmaester Rennie, who also wrote, "How odd to be watching both this and Handmaid's Tale. I was silently saying, no, Ellie, no, don't bash Nora with that pipe. Then in The Handmaid's Tale, I was saying, yes, kill them all. Context is everything." Which is great. So here's her call.
"Jason and Eric, I just want to praise you for your astute observation that even in the mushroom apocalypse, commas retain their importance. You can't distinguish between feel this bitch and feel this bitch without a comma.
Yeah.
Yay, punctuation. May it thrive forever."
Right.
So the show I love because it's making me think about all these ethical dilemmas. But also, it's a great horror show, and it's scary. Yeah. And I wanted to tell you a story about something that happened to me yesterday after I had seen the show the night before. At work, a coworker asked me to come into her office and help her with a spider that she had seen, because she's terrified of spiders, and I'm not bothered at all by spiders. So I did that. I was the spider hero for the day. And then when I got home, I was looking in my refrigerator and found some leftover pesto that was in a glass container that had gotten pushed to the back of the refrigerator, and it had was all overgrown with fungus. And I reacted the way my coworker reacted to the spider. Oh my God, it's fungus. It's oh no. What am I gonna do? I think we have to take off and nuke the site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. I've always thought fungus was particularly icky, and now I think it's even scarily ickier. Great show. I'm loving it. Loving your coverage. Thank you."
Oh, that's rad.
That's very good.
Scarily
she ate it. Now she's a clicker.
Hold on. I got to say, regarding grammar, they can
regarding grammars, I got something to say.
I was gonna say they can take the Oxford comma from my cold dead hand.
Yeah,
never give up here, the Oxford comma.
I so cheered when I was listening to that. I cheered for you. I was like, that's right.
She, you know, the whole fungus thing getting ickier. I found myself at the beginning of, well, when season one was airing, I'm like, I'm going to try mushroom coffee. And I took my son Nico out to forage. I was like really getting into mushrooms. Whenever I would tell anyone, they'd be like, "Ew."
I was kind of doing the same thing. I never really liked mushrooms. And over the last couple of years, I've gotten starting to enjoy them a lot more. Probably because of this.
Wow.
What kind of mushrooms, Eric?
I was going to ask that. But what I'm going to say is I was going to make a dish with enoki mushrooms tonight. So
my kid loves those. I love
all this mushroom talk.
Kid loves those. Just eats the youngest. Just eats them raw, nonstop. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like it. All right. Deborah Ulmer says, "Hi, the Cast of Us team. Hi. Sorry I missed the chance to comment on last week's episode, but I enjoyed it a lot. I definitely teared up again when I heard the show theme as Ellie saw the guitars in the music store. And I love Jeffrey Wright. He's such a versatile actor, from Westworld to the Batman. Mm-hmm. He plays every character amazing. I'm looking forward to see what he does as Isaac. Also, I wanted to chime in about the raisin cookies, LOL. I own a bakery and making a lot of gluten-free items for my customers. So when y'all were commenting on it, I was like, yes, you can certainly make cookies without wheat flour. There's rice flour / potato starch blends or any type of nuts made into flour, to name a few. Oatmeal raisin would probably be the easiest one to make too by using rolled oats and oat flour, and they'll be tasty. I want chocolate chips in my oatmeal cookies.
I love oatmeal raisin, and I will die on that hill.
All right. Oh, no.
So good.
Baked
chewy
raisins. Don't do it.
If this can be the most contentious issue we talk about, that would really make me ease my soul. as for this episode, it was great and crazy intense. It's so wild how Ellie and Dina are on this hunt and quest for vengeance, not knowing that they walked right into a war of two factions. Totally. They walked right into a war. And even though their relationship may be young-minded in some ways, in others it seems very grown up, especially how Dina's able to guide Ellie both physically and emotionally. They play off each other well. I'm enjoying seeing them together like this. Yay, I was so excited to see Jesse. But now, I know, I'm glad she said that because we've all sort of been a little bit down on that stuff. And I think it's uneven, but it is a sweet relationship too, I think. It's just, anyway. I'm enjoying seeing them together like this. Yay, I was so excited to see Jesse, but now we have him and Tommy to worry about also. So this is how they introduce spores. I'm interested to see how this new aspect plays out. Whoa, Ellie got dark at the end there. I can imagine that it's going to get worse, though. Y'all have a good one and take care. I think you might be right.
Well, thanks for the baking talk, too. That was really helpful.
I like it.
All right. So Wyman Owen says, spores. I'll jump right to the end here. The way that they were able to project spores from the game to television was absolutely stunning. I was in awe of it all. Okay, back to the beginning. I understand that dialogue drives the story in moments that the action isn't there, but the 15 minutes of Dina and Ellie yapping back and forth hit a little flat for me. I was taking more notice of the details of the background and setting. The streets looked amazing, and the theater was immaculate. Yes, the theater was incredible. Mm. And Ellie played a tiny bit of the song. Was hoping for the flashback scene that followed in the game, but no. The scene with the stalkers was intense, and it brought back my game anxiety, especially when Dina ran out of ammo. Captain Wyoming with a city. And the Seraphites were absolutely brutal. Lastly, the chase with Nora at the hospital literally ripped right from gameplay. I loved it. The actress who played Nora nailed those moments. Applause for her. Mm-hmm. Then leaving us with a Joel teaser for next week. I want more, and I want it now. Agreed. So some good stuff and some bad with some absolute amazing things this week for me. Still loving the show, and I love what y'all do on the podcast. Me too. I love what they do. Like a second family enjoying shows together. My wife won't watch it, so I got to enjoy with somebody. Oh, I'm so excited. All right. Another pun. Did you hear about the unfaithful espresso? It was grounds for divorce. Oh. Womp womp. Talk to y'all soon. Bye.
We'll give honest reactions to the puns.
I love puns. Pilani, it's still fun.
What's your favorite Pedro Pascal thing?
Ooh, my favorite pet of all time?
I have a guess, but I won't say it.
You know what I really enjoy and can watch over and over? SNL.
Yeah,
have you watched
so
him
good.
On SNL?
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. All of it. It's just hilarious. The ease of the change of the characters, and he's so funny.
Yeah. That one in particular. I love LA. It's so good. I love that.
Yeah, I think Wonder Woman 1984.
No, I'm just kidding. Nobody ever says that. Nobody would ever say that. That's one of the worst movies I've ever
seen. I love that answer.
I didn't even like him in that.
I know he couldn't say that.
No, not at all. That was one of the worst things I've ever seen. What was another?
I'm so sad for it to be a bad movie.
I know. Me too. I was too.
Yeah.
All right.
But we could talk about Pedro Pascal for hours, so let's move on.
All right. So Rachel Teal Edwards. Dang, this is a good one. Not the Ellie Dina stuff, but the second half. I just don't care about this romance. It seems forced and superfluous and downright boring at times. However, the action and horror and drama of the second half totally overshadows the dullness, so I can't wait for next week. The back half was one incredible scene after another. The stalkers are terrifying. Glad to see Jesse because we need a new dynamic in this dramatic, non-thrilling scenes. And Tommy, I miss Tommy. Hope we see him before the season is over. What a treat to actually witness the disemboweling. Not. That was one of the most intensely gruesome things I've seen since Rick biting out the Claimer's jugular. Ooh. This might be worse, actually. The visual at the hospital of the people trapped in the cordyceps, exhaling spores, is not one I will soon forget. Ellie should have been kind and killed them, ending their misery. But I guess she had other things on her mind. Mm-hmm. I found myself totally immersed in this scene, taking shallow breaths myself, and had to ground myself in my own surroundings and take some deep breaths. That's not a sign of good TV. I don't know what is. Ellie is channeling some serious aggression here. I saw a look on her face that made me think she might actually show mercy to Nora. But it was just the opposite. She was digging in and giving into her raw primal emotions. As a non-gamer, I will say there are plenty of scenes where I can tell it's straight out of the video game, but I actually think that's cool and enjoy it. You know, I thank you, Rachel. That was rad. I was just thinking about what could have improved the spore scene is if one of the trapped people spewing out the spores was a woman and she started vomiting. And then Ellie would say, "Oh my God, she's pregnant.
You're pregnant."
And then she'd kill her.
Oh gosh. Oh gosh. Wow.
That's a joke.
That's a lot.
Like she had a lot on her mind. That's true. Yeah. I thought maybe she'd get attacked, but it was just such.
I wouldn't want to get anywhere close to one of those.
Yeah,
no.
It's just beautiful, beautifully horrific scene. So well done. Thanks, Rachel. Rinaldi Calixt says, "Sorry, this is long, but a lot happened in this episode that interested me. This episode felt like the DC Comics character Two-Face. One half really didn't work for me. It seems to be, you're kind of in the majority there, maybe, or at least a lot of people say the same thing. And was, to be frank, not good. Well, Dean and Ellie are good because they're not Frank. That's my pun quota for the week. Well, good. That's good. But as good as they are, they cannot carry this show. Their 15 minutes of leading this episode fell flat for me. I mean, I'm not Seth here and definitely not Frank. Who's Seth?
Seth is the guy with the steak sandwiches.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Steak sandwiches.
I mean, I'll be frank in terms of honesty. Dina and Ellie are fantastic characters, though Dina is my favorite. And I actually want them to survive and settle down. Perhaps get parenting advice from Tommy and Maria. But the good parts of this episode played a huge obstacle in Dina trying to recreate what she lost with Ellie and possibly Jesse, a family. Because all the action sequences were intense. Lucy voice. I don't know how Lucy says intense. And she probably says it with a Scottish accent, which I cannot
do. I would imagine.
They did a good job making me scared for Ellie and Dina, especially Dina, because I'm the captain of the Dina bandwagon. I didn't know that about you. That's good. The confrontation with Nora was enjoyable despite being sad and horrifying because of its combination of emotional and physical intensity. This is going to sound weird because, again, I'm not on Team Abby and I'm reluctantly on Team Ellie, but I respect Nora for refusing to give up Abby. Even when in excruciating pain or out of just primal fear and desperation, Nora refused to give up Abby. The WLF soldier was willing to give up Isaac, his commander, in a second, but Nora said no. Aside from Dina's speech, that has to be my character moment of the episode. Well, I think that's all really interesting, Rinaldi, but we actually don't know if Nora gave up Abby because we didn't get to see the end of that scene. So we'll find out. Also, I feel so sad for Mrs. Park, whose son Leon is trapped in that beautifully shot and designed spore basement area. Absolutely. Last of Us really does a good job with these brief flashback segments and takes horrific things and makes them artistically beautiful. You know what? This episode isn't Two-Face. It's a Harvey Dent who never became a villain and learned there are two sides to every coin from Gail the Therapist and Neil Druckmann. Look at that. I exceeded my weekly pun quota with two puns. Not Two-Face, in honor of Joel, who's back in flashback form. So all the Zodders of Pedro Pascal are going to come back to their Zaddy, right? Right? They're going to come back and watch the rest of the season, right? Yeah. Do you think a lot of people jump ship when Joel died?
Think so.
I thought they might,
but
it turns out, no, I don't think so. Yeah.
I mean, again, my wife did say she's still not as interested without him, but she's still watching. I mean, then again, she doesn't have a choice since I'm watching it, but you know,
what did she say when she saw Joel?
Oh, I think were she was, I think it was something along the lines of yay. Something like that.
That's all.
I really don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure it's along the line. I'm paraphrasing. Yay.
Like, oh, good. Yeah, your wife is pretty chill, Eric.
That's true. She's pretty chill. Yeah, that was a very enthusiastic reaction. It was like yay with a capital Y, I think. So
yeah. I mean, there was.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say there was an exclamation point on it, but
no. Let's not go there. Come on now.
I mean, come on. Take she didn't win easy. The lottery.
All right. Where are we here? What's going on?
It's a call, gonna play a call from Carissa.
Hey, y'all. It's Carissa from Portland. Really quickly to answer Jason's question from last week about belief in the supernatural, not being what really seals the deal for people. I think that belief itself is different than facing evidence of a supernatural being. Like if you have evidence, you don't need to believe anything. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have evidence, you have to have faith. And so that belief or faith is what keeps you going, along with rituals, like high demand rituals, like the scarring with the seraphites. And the community and the connection, whether it's healthy or unhealthy, is what keeps people committed. And so I hope that explains it. And if it didn't, I tried. So episode 5. I'm hearing a lot of talk about how frustrating it is to see Ellie and Dina make what are very idiotic decisions. Dina has done her best to make everything safe, but going to Seattle was just stupid. They're not prepared. They're in over their heads. Is anyone else feeling like it's just getting too stupid? Like, just watching them make mistake after mistake. Like, for me personally, I don't find it frustrating. I know what the story is trying to do. It's a study in the cycle of violence. And almost 100% of the time in these situations, there are a series of stupid, irresponsible decisions. So,
yeah.
And that way, I feel it's realistic.
Yes.
But I can also see how that's frustrating to watch in a TV show for some people. And then Ellie knew all along. Like, not strongly suspected, but like she knew it. Very cool that we're getting spores now. Do y'all think Nora knew what was down there? She didn't seem that surprised, but she also had other problems on her plate. So
she didn't know. Nobody knew.
It seems like the cordyceps have found a way to use human bodies as a host to breathe out the spores. So do you think there needs to be like a main hub to create the spore factory? And like, will the spores maybe get weaker if they're further away from like the factory or the hub? I don't know. What do y'all think? That's all I got. Bye.
I mean, maybe, but originally the whole thing spread because it got into the wheat, the flour. So I don't think the idea is that there's some central spore factory somewhere and that's why it's spreading. I think that's just another manifestation of the horrors of this whole plague. If that, I don't know if that answered your question, but.
Yeah, it's like when pollens fly through the air and plants sprout where they land, right?
Yeah, that just tripped me out, by the way, because your voice sounds similar to hers. And when I said, I don't know if that answered your question, and you said, yeah, I was like, wow, that's never happened before.
Wow, that's amazing.
Welcome to the first interactive podcast.
Am I crazy right now?
Carissa and I are the same person. We are the same person.
That was kind of awesome.
I'm from Portland.
What was I going to say? Oh, about people doing dumb things. My hope is, because you're absolutely right. It's very realistic because they're driven by emotion. You know, revenge can cloud logic and sanity. And my hope is people watch this and go, man, they're doing really stupid things. Maybe I shouldn't do stuff like that.
Yeah. And they're young, right? They're 19. So you're supposed to do stupid things at this age. And it's supposed to make us as viewers feel like we're smarter and wouldn't do it. But, you know, we probably all would do stupid things.
Yeah. We'd probably keep doing it.
I'm sure there's some lesson somewhere in here regarding vengeance, revenge, you know, clouding your judgment, that kind of thing.
But you just like the zombies.
Me?
I like the
fight scenes. I'm not gonna lie. I love it when she just uses jujitsu, and I just think that's fantastic.
Well, I love that you just made Ben cringe by calling them zombies. So.
Who would win, Ellie or Daniel LaRusso?
I know who.
Ellie.
Probably Ellie.
Ellie.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Ellie would totally win.
She has more passion.
Well, she'd stab him. He would just kick her. I mean, you know.
All right, what's next?
Billy Thompson is next. Hello. Hope you guys are well. I'm warming to Ellie and Dina's interactions and the way they are written compared to the game. I was initially struggling with it and thought it was maybe too happy/jokey while being on a revenge mission, which I still feel like it's at times. But it seems to be getting more emotional/serious between the two, like the conversation about Dina's first kill. and if she should keep on going, which was a lot closer to the games vibe. Is that true, guys?
You mean like that's her vibe a little bit more? That she's mm-hmm. a little more serious in the game than the show? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, they both are.
Okay.
They both are, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it's for sure a me problem, and I'll keep telling myself it's not 100% game accurate and just enjoy it for what it is.
It's good.
Plus, it is 3 months later than the game, so them feelings Ellie and Dina had about Joel's death would be a bit more under control when interacting with each other rather than the raw feelings in the game because it had just happened.
That's a good okay. point.
I yeah. feel like yeah. they've taken, yeah, that's a good point. I feel like they've taken a slightly nicer approach than the game did, which is fine. It's its own thing. It'll just take some getting used to from me, like how Jason says when he sees the Walking Dead comics and the show is different. I need to with this.
Yeah, you really do. It's so hard. I yeah. really struggle with it myself. You're not alone.
I hear y'all struggling yeah. with it. And I also hear, you know, like Walt Move talking about the same way where they're yeah. like, oh, it's kind of this way, it's kind of that way. Anyhow.
When I'm watching the show sometimes and I start to feel like, or sometimes I just catch myself going, oh my God, I'm appreciating this on its own. What a great feeling. Oh. You know, it just like comes over me. Like it's its own thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, Billy continues. Wow. What a scene with the stalkers. So creepy. We definitely can't moan about not getting enough infected this season. I'd love to see how they filmed that scene. Can't work out if some of the infected were CGI or not. Mm. You have to take your hat off for the actors that play stalkers, though. Just a perfect performance.
Yes.
Just seeing them run into the park gave me anxiety. I knew exactly what was coming. Such a memorable part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to say what a performance this episode from Bella. Such a phenomenal actor. I'm generally so sick of the negativity online surrounding the actor. Same, Billy, mm-hmm. same. Mm-hmm. I've actually had to leave Facebook and Reddit groups because it is so relentless. Just this episode alone shows exactly why they chose Bella for the role. I, for one, think it was absolutely the right decision to cast Bella. After such a crazy, intense, violent episode, hey, kiddo, was exactly what I needed to hear. God, I can't wait for the next episode. I have a feeling it's going to be a standout. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right. Next one here is from Ricky White. Hello, everyone. I loved this episode. The cold opening really set the tone. Something is lurking underneath. Hanrahan's expression when she hears it's in the air was haunting. She tried to stay calm, but that look gives her away. Dina opening up about her first kill hit hard. It made me think about the survivor's guilt she's still carrying. Her speech is what drives Ellie to push forward, but I think Dina needs this journey just as much. Maybe the wolves brought back that same helplessness she felt years ago. Joel was another person she couldn't save. I really like this change from the game. It makes Dina's reasons for staying in the fight feel more layered and real. The stalkers were terrifying. I got a serious xenomorph vibe from them. Just one could have taken Ellie out if she wasn't immune. And now there's a dozen of them? The tension in that scene was incredible. And Jesse showing up right then had real Joel energy. It reminded me of the original Last of Us Part 2 teaser when Joel walks in with that flood of light behind him. Jesse's character is really working for me. He's angry and he should be. Without him, they'd be dead. Mm-hmm. His frustration with Ellie's recklessness feels earned, and I was glad to hear Tommy is out there too. Can't wait to see more of him. The park scene with the Seraphites felt like it was lifted straight from the game. The orange haze from the torches, the eerie whistles, the ritualistic killing, and that sudden arrow to the knee. Chef's kiss. The hospital sequence was just as impressive. Another stunning set and a haunting performance from Bella Ramsey. The red light, her almost black eyes, that blank stare as she interrogates Nora were unnerving. And then we see Joel smiling, ready to take Ellie on a fun father-daughter trip next week. These cruel bastards. I mean, I love it, and I expect nothing less, but come on, it's cruel. LOL. Can't wait for the next episode. Thanks for everything you do. And remember, don't get bit.
Well put. That's good. Good writing there. I like how he points out Jesse's mad because that's one thing we didn't really mention
when
we
were talking
about how he was rude to Ellie. He's like, I had to come out here to save mm-hmm. you and you weren't supposed to leave. We all voted mm-hmm. on it. She did have almost black eyes, Ellie, in that red light scene, and I love that.
Like a doll's eyes.
Nicole Couture says, "Hi guys, I recently found your podcast, and I have to say I'm enjoying it immensely."
Cool.
I'm new to the story as I'm not a gamer, but I wanted to find a place where I could get a deeper understanding of The Last of Us world. I've tried listening to other podcasts about the show, but in my humble opinion, apart from the official podcast, you guys are by far the best. Well, thank you again.
You guys really are.
Oh, thanks. I'm going to tell Aaron you said that. No, I'm just kidding.
You can. That's okay. Go ahead.
Please do.
I really appreciate that you're very respectful and considerate of not just everyone's opinions, but also the actors and showrunners, as well as any sensitive subjects when they arise. I think this is partly to do with how you view the show as its own thing, a thing that's heavily based on the games for sure, but still distinct from the source material. Well, we try. It seems like all the other fan podcasts can do is criticize the show about not being a one-on-one carbon copy of the games. It's pretty damn close in a lot of times. Not to mention complain and shit on Bella for having a different way of portraying Ellie than the original actor. I saw some discourse if Bella did the scene in the basement with Nora justice and whether or not they had the grittiness of Ashley's portrayal in the games. Personally, I think they absolutely killed it. Pun intended. I've watched a comparison of the scene between the game and show, and I understand why people might feel the way that way. But to me, it seems, again, people are too caught up in comparison to appreciate the show as itself. Mm-hmm. To me, it seemed that Ashley's performance in the game made Ellie seem like she was mid to late 20s, whereas Bella's made her seem like late teens, early 20s, which is the age Ellie's supposed to be anyway. This would make sense because at the time of filming, both actors were closer to those respective ages. That's all really well said. And honestly, like, I love that scene in the game and the show, and I think they're both fantastic performances.
Yeah, agreed.
But yeah, Ellie, it does play a little older in the game than the show. As a total aside, I'm from Vancouver, where most of this episode is shot, and the theater they used to film it is the Orpheum Theater. The ceiling is real and it looks exactly cool. Like the show in person, just maybe a little cleaner. LOL. Wait, the Orpheum is cleaner or the show one's cleaner? It was built in the
in person.
Okay. That makes more sense. It was built in the 1920s and I consider myself fortunate to have gone to several performances there. That is so cool. It's absolutely gorgeous inside. Another anecdote I have about a filming location is about the scene where Ellie, Dina, and Jesse are running through the forest away from the Seraphites. It was filmed in Stanley Park. It's essentially Vancouver's version of Central Park, except it's not in the middle of downtown. It's on the tip of a peninsula, but still very accessible through several bridges and roads. Many people walk or bike through the park daily, and there are horse-drawn carriages you can purchase and cultists disemboweling people. No, I'm just kidding. There are also,
you have to go in the forest.
Yeah, you have to go a little deeper. You have to know right where to go.
A little extra.
Right. There are also tons of other attractions, like an aquarium that focuses on the rehabilitation of injured sea animals, as well as a ton of indigenous coast Salish totem poles, not to mention other seasonal events and attraction. That sounds delightful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But now I've rambled enough about Vancouver to sound like a tourism advertisement, so I'll wrap it up here. Thank you for doing what you do. From a new avid listener, now you are free, Nicole. That's the creepiest sign off to the nicest letter we've got.
That was, she was so Canadian until she got to the last sign off, right?
That was great.
What a great comment. Yeah. That was wonderful, Nicole.
Aquarium, you say?
Interesting.
Gonna leave that there.
Yeah. Don't spoil anything.
There's dolphins coming. No, I'm just
doing flips and shit. Okay.
No, they're going to be infected dolphins. It's going to be horrifying.
They click anyway.
Oh, it's a whole nother language, right? That's a whole nother signaling each other dolphin talk.
All right. Here is a call from Gloria.
Hi guys. This is Gloria from Salem, Mass. This is my feedback for The Last of Us Episode 5. What an extremely intense episode. Oh my God, on the edge of my seat. We're really in the thick of it now, aren't we? Those spores, holy shit. Dina is super smart, and thank God she's good at math. I personally suck at it. I do hope we get more story, backstory on her, though. She was 8 the first time she killed, and how did she get to Jackson? Is that a spoiler? Will we ever find out? Isabella Merced is my new hero. What an amazing actress. Ellie in the auditorium with that guitar. Oh my goodness, just heartbreaking. She couldn't even continue with the song. I'm assuming that's one that Joel taught her. And I know it's Pearl Jam's Future Days and the lyrics. So that's going to be a wicked sex scene when it happens. I hope it happens. It better. So I guess that building in between the Wolves Hospital and headquarters, is that the headquarters? I don't know. I don't remember what she said. Is filled with stalkers, sneaky little fuckers. I do have a question. Which infected do you guys think is the most dangerous? Runners, stalkers, clickers, bloaters, or shamblers? And are there any others? Ellie really scared the shit out of me when confronting Nora. Sweet Jesus, she really did embrace her dark side, didn't she? So clearly she knew what Joel did, but I can't wait for those flashbacks. And that last scene, it was so good to see Pedro again. God knows I can still appreciate a handsome man. Like Abby said, pretty handsome. I did want to mention the actress who plays Harahan, Alana Ubeck. She's from Euphoria, and she portrays Suze Howard, who's a hysterical character. Funny, not insane. Well, maybe both. That's it from you guys. Talk to you next week. Bye.
What did she ask? Which one of the creatures is the most
terrifying? Scary? I think it would be the terrifying. Most deadly. Maybe the most deadly, I think. I mean, bloater.
Scariest, terrifying.
Clickers, bloaters. I don't, they're all, I mean.
Yeah.
I don't like the smart ones who sneak up on you. Yeah. I don't like that.
Man, I gotta especially, say, Gloria, I love that Massachusetts accent so much. I really do.
It's smart.
So good. I love that
so
accent.
So fun. I could listen to that. Yeah, that was a great call. Yeah. Next comment is from Rachel Cox. Hello, the cast of us. I'm Rachel from Indiana. I'm currently a stay-at-home mom with two little boys. Came across you all while I was watching The White Lotus, which I also love.
Nice.
I appreciate your talking points and how open-minded you are to different perspectives. Same, Rachel, same. So, let me get started. I did not play the game or really watch all of season one. Oh. Actually, in both cases, my husband did, so I kind of pseudo-watched them, getting bits and pieces here and there. The one exception was the episode with Nick Offerman and Murray Bartlett. Oh, yeah. Mm. One of the best episodes of television ever, I'd say.
Very good.
I also just fell in love with Murray Bartlett after seeing him in The White Lotus.
Me too.
I was so, so sad after episode two. Like so much that I woke up the next morning still feeling really somber. However, I really wanted to see what happened next. Unlike what happened with Glenn in The Walking Dead. Okay, poor Glenn. Yes, I was one of those people that stopped watching after that.
You and millions of others.
I know, it's so sad. My husband told me that this was a pivotal part of the game too for Ellie, and that he was also so surprised when it happened in the game. On this same note, after episode two, I asked my husband if we could watch the Rise of Gemstones right after The Last of Us going forward. Mm. So I wasn't left in such a gloomy mood before bed. Mm. We have also been watching Mobland on Sunday night, so it's a double whammy of some dark stuff. And I know you've been recommending to watch Pedro Pascal in the Fantastic Four now, but another good movie to watch with him is Freaky Tales, especially if you're a Quentin Tarantino fan.
I've been wondering about that, movie. I've seen it pop up on a video on demand.
All right. Anyway, back to the episode. I was on pins and needles during a lot of this episode. My heart rate definitely increases when I watch this show. The pacing felt so fast, especially after they left the theater. I found myself thinking, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Over and over again. I love how a lot of the editing looks so video gamey, for lack of a better word. The way they make Ellie's face look with the lighting, the glow of the eyes of the stalkers, and how dark Ellie's eyes look in the basement, to name a few. A lot of what I've been thinking about comes from the end of the episode. Those people that are all fungified totally reminded me of Annihilation. And when Ellie is yelling, where is she? Total The Dark Knight vibes. I mean, both these as compliments. The very, very end, when we see Ellie and Joel again, I actually found myself laughing. Like, we all know that Ellie is on the same path as Joel, basically turning into Joel. Here, it made me laugh. Because it was almost like Joel was back and saying, welcome to my life, to my headspace. I don't know. It isn't funny, but it's like you really don't understand where a person is coming from until you live it yourself. Maybe I was just laughing at the tragic irony of it. I also just laugh when I'm nervous, so maybe it's just me. Random question, but don't answer it if it spoils anything. The Seraphites leader, was her first name Sarah? Or is that a little too obvious? Thank you all. I recommend podcasting about Mobland, by the way.
I don't remember.
They never said.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And they're called the Seraphites, and so that is an interesting possibility. But there's, you know, I meant to look it up, but there's this class of angels called the Seraphim in the Bible, and I think it might be about that.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them, though. Do you know anything about them?
I don't, but I feel like that was that makes more sense than being named after Sarah.
Yeah, but it could be because she's the guru. So maybe it's a both, you know, could be both.
Yeah.
Yeah. The seraph is a type of angel in Abrahamic religions. Pulled it up here. Highest rank of Christian angelology with the fifth rank of 10. And oh my God, I'm not going to read this. Sorry. But yes, apparently.
It sounds like a Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes. In Hebrew, the word seraph means burning and is used 7 times throughout the. Okay. Never mind.
Burn, David, burn.
Okay. Moving on. Rebecca G. Hi, Podcastica team. I recently started listening to your podcast and enjoy hearing your Last of Us discussions. My friends are not into scary TV, so I don't have folks to talk with about it. Hooray for parasocial relationships. Anyway, I have a very late thought I wanted to share about the second episode. I was so fascinated by the fact that Abby decided to drug Dina before she started really torturing Joel. Her choices with Joel are extreme and violent, but they don't extend to Dina. For all Abby knows, Dina could be the mystery girl who Joel took from the hospital. She could even have had some involvement in her father's death. She has no way of knowing who this girl is. Even so, she makes an intentional choice to not inflict the type of trauma that she experienced when she was a teenage girl. She doesn't even inflict the violence of knocking Dina out with the butt of a gun or something like that. Instead, she has her carefully injected with enough medication, which may be in limited supply, to make sure that she does not experience the subsequent violence. It's especially interesting considering the episode started with a daydream where she is trying to keep her younger self from seeing the carnage in the OR. That's genuine kindness in a fucked up post-apocalyptic kind of way. However, that kindness only goes so far. By the time that Ellie arrives, she's in full-on killing mode and doesn't care about anything or anyone around her. Remind you of anyone else we've met? Ellie isn't even a blip on her radar. Anyway, I don't know if this will be shared on the listener feedback episode. I don't know either. I know it's very belated, but I wanted to share since I haven't heard anyone talking about it, and I thought it was a really fascinating character choice. Thanks for taking the time to read. Sincerely, Becca. P.S. Has anyone brought up the ASL version of the episodes that HBO is putting out? I saw that. I'm not a fluent signer, but I am studying ASL, and I love rewatching the episodes with the signing in the corner. It provides so much more nuance and context than captions ever could.
That's neat.
It's such a great step towards better access for the deaf community, and I hope they choose to do this for more shows in the future. I saw great. That I in the Max comment. Feed. I saw that there was an ASL version of it, and I was
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's a way to keep seeing Pedro Pascal on your screen because he's doing it. No, I'm just kidding. That'd be pretty cool.
On a serious note, I love that they've got the ASL versions of it. I mean, one of the things I love, I work in live events and I'm still an executive in diversity. So it's a very inclusive thing to do, but it's also the way Becca talks about it. It really does add emotion if you've got someone who is signing because they use their whole body and they use their face as their, it's really cool. It's just a nice experience. So I like that she brought that up.
The signers at the hip hop shows are by far the best ever.
I'm going to see Kendrick Lamar next week. I cannot wait to see where they put the ASL folks. I have a feeling there's going to be
They always kill it. I love it, man.
And I mean, doing Walker Stalker for so many years, we had signers up on stage and they were incredible. And it was really fun sometimes to see the interplay between the actors and the signers, like Cudlitz getting them to talk about the cosmos and the, you know, everything like that, you know, or Rooker making them say dirty things.
Yes, Rucker. Oh my gosh,
that was always awesome.
That sounds about right.
What was I gonna say? No, that's right. The stuff about knocking out Dina, it is a little weird because why take so much time to knock out Dina, but then just do it right in front of Ellie? And
I took it as just give her time to do her thing. Just to not be an interference.
The way Rebecca's putting it is she just was in killing mode by the time Ellie came in.
Yeah.
And didn't care. And that maybe that's it. But I think also it's for plot reasons, right? They wanted Ellie to be the one to witness it and not Dina. But anyway, yeah, nice. Glad you brought that up. Okay, here's a call from Robin.
Hey, y'all, it's me. This episode, wow. So many tense moments. Once the ladies stop triangulating and wandering around, turning on the generator and finding yet again a bunch of unwarped playable guitars in a building that hasn't had any heat on in 20 years in rainy, chilly Seattle, but whatever, and they get going, it became really intense for me. Gotta say, the smart clickers are some of the scariest things that I've ever seen, and making those human-sounding cries made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. They are so scary. I was so glad to see Jesse show up to save them, but I'm a little bit worried. I'm not going to lie. I love him so much. I really hope he and Tommy don't die. They're just, they're so great. And he's just so great. And they're walking through the woods. I was so glad to see him turn around and take Ellie down a peg because she is so insufferable. She just won't shut up. He's like, do you really think I want to talk to you about this right now? Come on. You know, the Seraphites are making the wolves look a little bit like rookies in some ways. That disemboweling scene, that was one of the grossest things ever. And all I could think of was the episode in The Walking Dead proper in the prison when the people were dying of the flu and turning, and the guy in his bed in his cell got opened up by another walker, and after he turned and went to stand up, all of his intestines slid out onto the floor. That had previously been the grossest thing ever, but this disemboweling by the Seraphites, so gross, but also just because it was so horrendously scary and awful. During the whole scene with Nora, I'm not a game player, so I really have no idea what's going to happen. I was very, very shocked by the clickers that are sort of melted into the wall. That was one of the most amazing. I don't know how they build those sets, but that was really, really cool. And, you know, during the whole scene with Nora, I kept saying, Ellie, no, don't do it, Ellie, because I know she has to change. I know the theme of the story. I know what it's about, but I just hate to see it happen. You know, the Ellie that we grew to love, I just hate to see her go. And I'm really afraid that she's going to go to the point where she totally alienates everybody who loves her, that Dina and Jesse will turn away from her and, you know, she'll end up alone. I'm really afraid of that. How could they make Dina obviously pregnant without being so obviously with the puking? Well, some things they could do. Mm-hmm. They could have her go off to pee and check her underwear. They could have her be so hungry and then unable to eat the food and say, you know, because it doesn't smell good or because it's just gross to her for some reason. And that could be just about anything. When I was pregnant, I could not stand the smell of coffee, which is one of my favorite things in the whole world. They couldn't have her chomping on ginger like Walking Dead did with Annie, but they could have in the pharmacy had her find a box of peppermint tea or ginger supplements and stick those in her backpack. You know, she could also start, after they had seen that little girl dead with the Seraphites, she could also start talking about children and wondering if they have a lot of, you know, big families and babies and, you know, just sort of talking about that sort of thing. All of those things are also sort of tropey, but they're less tropey than the puking. And here's my pun. Ready? What happens when two kittens get in a fight? It becomes a catastrophe.
Oh.
Okay. I'm sure we'll talk again soon. Love you guys. You do so great with this podcast. It's been my just everything for a long time.
Oh.
Talk soon. Oh. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Robin.
Nice.
That's nice.
In Hawaii, my wife's OBGYN at the time, first kid was born there, recommended Lihing Mui for morning sickness. That's what she should take. So. Just throwing that
That's what
there.
I craved when I was pregnant. Before I knew I was pregnant, that was that exactly what I craved.
Lihing Mui, good stuff.
And that's so how you knew. What is it?
Like a salted plum.
Yeah.
Sort of salty, sweet.
Dried. salted prune, basically.
Of those things you said, well, what I didn't really talk about this before, but and maybe it's because it's so obvious, but one reason the puking kind of works is because in this show, you see a lot of things that might actually make people puke. So it's not a for sure thing, you know, like what did she see?
All the dead Seraphites.
Yeah.
All the
like I might puke if I saw that. Yes. But I know. Of the things you said, Robin, I like the one about just her bringing up babies, bringing up kids, you know, that would have been interesting. Cause I think, yeah, if you're pregnant, that's going to be on your mind.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Okay. Tam from Perth says, hey kiddos. Wow. This episode had it all. Another tiny woman harshened by this world and towered over by tall, young, armed men. Her face, walk, her presence commands respect. I really want more of her. That was almost like a haiku. I love, love, love the strong female representation. 8-year-olds killing someone who ruined her family and another mother making a huge sacrifice. Is the sign in the hospital and the map a reference to the game? I'm almost considering becoming a gamer.
Ooh.
No, I don't think so.
The sign in the hospital, which sign? And the map? Yes. The map is a reference to the game.
Oh, yes. There's always maps. Yeah.
Especially that map.
Right.
Yeah. And
I'm not sure what sign.
Sign in the hospital.
What sign?
Don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a nod to the game. But I don't know what sign you're referring to. Yeah, no kidding.
I feel like this episode is packed with so many zones and sets. I know I'm amazed by this every week, but this one, each scene had a giant step forward. The lobby of love and intelligence, the theater teasing us all for more Bella's sweet vulnerability, the warehouse of circus-like stalkers, and the perfect place to think Joel. No, he's gone. So yay, Tommy. But okay, we will take grumpy Jesse. My brain was honestly exhausted at that point, and we were just getting started. The lush forest of evil, of which I'll admit I closed my eyes on first watch, and I'm only seeing while I write this on my second. That's so beautiful, though. The hospital where second on Ellie's shit list, Nora, who held our Ellie down, has to watch her become instantly dangerous. Bella's range is incredible, from you love me to smart killing machine full of vengeance. So it's just kept coming, giving, and I'm glad she gave that bitch what she deserved. The infected basement, give those artists an award. And finally, Ellie's room, complete in a happier time. Joel and a sweet, sleepy, innocent hi. Mm. It's a full circle of love and violence. Standard sign off with a sorry for so long, but I'm excellent at justifying because it felt like such a long episode, and I'm bribing you with finally joining your Patreon and beers if you ever come down under.
Let's go.
I mean, I'd be there in a second if I could afford it. I want to go there at some point.
Me too.
Much love, and same. Give me Eddie Vedder's voice every day. Not just any day. P.S. Just finished the official HBO pod, and they said that all those crates in the warehouse with the stalker scene were full of props, etc. from Shogun, which I knew you were watching and podding. Were we? I didn't pod that. Did Jonathan? I think Jonathan did.
I love that show so much. My gosh.
Kind of cool crossover, and funny hearing Craig Mazin's story about it. You know what? I listened to the HBO one and I didn't remember him saying that.
You missed that? I was so excited when they said that. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That is pretty neat. That was quite a poetic message from you, Tam. I loved it.
You've got some incredible listeners. All of these are very detailed and well thought out.
Yeah. They're pretty passionate about it.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
All right, here is one. Well, we do have our Game Talk segment coming, but here's our final call in the main segment from Renee. And Renee had called in about the other show I'm podcasting on right now, Handmaid's Tale, and she kind of stuck this part in there because it's about a more serious subject, and she thought it would go better on that podcast since we really go there with the serious topics, given the nature of that show. But it's about The Last of Us, so I asked her, hey, why don't we just play that on The Last of Us? We'll go there on that podcast too. So here it is. That I'm just explaining that because it doesn't have context, but here we go.
Now, Jason, I want to address something that you said on the Last of Us podcast regarding the cycle of violence. You compare George Floyd protests to the insurrection on January the 6th. You said that each side justified violence because of what the other side did. And that's kind of what's happening now with the incident involving the black child who was called the N-word by the white woman over allegedly stealing apple juice versus the black boy who stabbed a white boy after the altercation. Now, I don't agree with violence unless it's in self-defense, but I do understand why my people sometimes lash out. We have been victimized, demoralized, and deemed less than for generations. Take, for example, when white people are on government assistance, it's called a hand up. When black people receive government assistance, it's called a handout. When we protest by marching or kneeling, it's considered disrespectful. But when white people protest by storming the Capitol, it's considered patriotic. As a black person, I don't use words I consider derogatory, like the B word, the N word, the C word, etc. I don't believe anyone should use their words, those words. Some black people try to justify the N word by using a at the end instead of the ER. To me, it doesn't matter. It's an ugly word either way. So I cannot understand how anyone could support someone that said that to a five-year-old, said a five-year-old was acting like an N-word. What does that even mean? Situations like that make black people lose hope in humanity. Mm-hmm. As for the incident with the two little boys, I don't know exactly what happened, but my heart does go out to the family who lost their child. Now, Jason, I wasn't offended by your comment because I know your heart and I know that you didn't mean any harm. You was just making a point about protest dynamics. But I do want to say there's a huge difference between people protesting because a man was killed and treated like an animal versus people protesting because they couldn't accept that their candidate lost an election. It's definitely a case by case basis.
So first, I just want to thank you for calling in about that. I really appreciate it. And I thought when I was saying what I was saying that it would provoke some discussion. And actually, I think you're the only one so far that said anything about it. But, you know, I don't know anything about these two situations that you mentioned.
I know about the one.
I don't know about either of them.
Well, one of them is this ridiculous thing where some white trashy lady starts calling some young black boy, you know, the N-word, and somebody calls her out on it and they're filming her and she goes, yeah, I don't care, N-word, 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 N-word. And for whatever reason, the gross people of this country felt it appropriate to basically GoFundMe, it's a different place that did it, over $700,000 because she's, you know, somehow suffered.
Wait, GoFund for what?
Yeah, you heard that right.
Just to give her money?
Yes.
She wasn't like,
I don't know if she was fired
or anything.
I don't think so. No, this was just because she called some young kid the N-word.
She called the kid the N-word, and so they're sending her money.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you heard that right. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's disgusting. Yeah. And, I don't know about the stabbing thing disgusting. Or all that.
Yeah. So the point of this conversation is, I mean, I think in the same podcast, I asked, because it's about cycles of violence, right? And I heard a lot of people who were pro-Capitol riot who said, what about what happened this summer in the protest?
Oh, God, and, I hate that you so know, much.
It just reminded me of like this back and forth that happens between groups to justify escalation. And I think I asked in the same podcast, what if one side is more right than the other? Then should you still look for peaceful solutions rather than an escalation of violence? And that is a question. Like, I mean, some things are absolutely worth fighting for, but we're here in an examination of the cycles of violence. And I have strong opinions about the George Floyd protest and also the Capitol riots. And I'm sure if I got into it, a lot of you would go, yeah, he's right. And some of you would probably be pissed off about it. But my point is that to bend towards peace. We need more people thinking, even though I think I'm right, how can we resolve this peacefully and in a way that's best for everyone? And another thing that happened on the official HBO podcast this week, Craig Mazin, the other showrunner, was talking about how Nora and Ellie lacked any empathy for each other in this episode. And he said that moral certainty blinds you and that the higher moral value is empathy. And he said, quote, if we don't figure out how to be invested in the other person winning, then we're all going to lose. And so this is a complicated conversation. And sometimes, you know, it's not like, I don't necessarily think that turning the other cheek is the best solution all the time. But I do think that on some level, that is an important thing. If we don't figure out how to be invested in the other person winning, then we're all going to lose. And I don't want to see our country become The Last of Us with the Seraphites and the WLF, or to become like other countries are around the world, like the situation in the Middle East, like that. So that's all. I just think I wanted to bring that up as an example of that. And I think, you know, a lot of times when there are situations like this, one side is more right than the other. I happen to think one side is more right than the other in this case. But yet still, I think it bears pointing out that I just wish that we could all figure out a way to realize that we're all in this together and that we should all care about each other, as corny as that sounds.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's corny. And I want to honor Renee's call, because I think,
yeah,
she's making a really valid point about perspective and life experience being different, right? She's calling as a Black woman. You know, I'm a woman of color. My perspective on all this is very different as well. So I think I like the fact that she honored what you said, and she knows your heart, that you weren't intentionally saying something to offend anybody. And I think she's right. I didn't take any offense to what you said in that last podcast. But I think the point is, we've lost empathy as a country. And
you mean
and
the sin of empathy?
I mean, it's really, and I'll say this from sort of a corporate DEI practitioner. When I talk about education for executives, that's what I focus on. I don't focus on definitions or talking about differences in terms of race, gender, you know, whether you're LGBTQ or not. I really talk about empathy from a human standpoint. And so I think what Renee is also trying to say is the same thing. It's just understanding that we all have our own lenses of how we see things, but fundamentally we're all humans and we're going to destroy each other if we don't figure out how to be empathetic about experiences.
Yeah.
And as we keep repeating, the entire essence of this show and this story is based on perspective, you know, having to look at something from another perspective.
Yeah. The destruction of vengeance, you know, how that destroys your humanity.
And, also, everything I said comes from a privileged perspective, and I recognize that, and I want to honor that that's all that I have. And so, you know, I hope I didn't undermine anything that you said, Renee, because that certainly wasn't my intention. I'm really grateful that you called in.
Yeah, it was great. You are a strong ally, Jason. You and Eric both are very strong allies. So
thanks. Try to be.
Yeah.
Infected news.
So I actually did not have time this time to gather Last of Us news this week, but I do have one thing to mention, and that is that there's a new teaser for The Walking Dead Daryl Dixon season 3 just came out last week. Oh. It's pretty quick, but it looks super cool. They're really paying a lot of attention to the look of it. At least you can tell that. I'll put a link in the show notes for it, but it says it's coming in the fall, and of course Lucy and I will be podcasting on it. It looks like the title's just going to be The Walking Dead Daryl Dixon, because the first season was The Walking Dead Daryl Dixon, then last season was The Walking Dead Daryl Dixon, The Book of Carol. And I was thinking, okay, will season 3 be The Walking Dead Daryl Dixon, The Book of Carol, Here's Negan, or something? I don't know.
It gets longer and longer every season. But anyway,
Daryl Dixon, looking forward to that. The Spy.
Yeah, that'd be so awesome. But, I mean, then he would just be carrying around her head on a pike or something.
Oh, that's right. She ended up dead. Yeah, never mind. I stopped watching. True.
All right, we are back. We're going to do our typical game talk section. I don't think there's anything all that super spoilery in it, but if you're really trying to protect yourself from spoilers, or then you should probably stop listening, and thank you so much for listening. Okay, so whose turn is it?
I think it's my turn.
Okay, cool.
The non-game player. I'm going to share what Paik Allen says. The game flashbacks keep getting me. Don't go in that building. There's stalkers. Don't go in the park. That's Scar's territory. Following Nora down into the spores-infected area, Jesse and Tommy are now in Seattle, absolutely loving it all. They're doing it so well.
You know, yeah. I got to say, we were talking earlier about like just good people, you know, with good heart. That's yes. Paik. That's Paik. Paik's man. That, dude, best, yeah. That dude's the real deal. He's the real deal. That's a good man right there. So
that's true. Mm.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
You're right. I'm glad you said it.
All right. Mark McBurney. Wow. That last scene with Ellie and Nora was tremendous. Both actresses did a great job. And if I'm not mistaken, word for word, identical to the game. The spores looked fantastic on the screen, too. I tip my hat to the visual effects team. A pack of stalkers. Those creepy little fuckers scare me more than the big bad bloaters. Really hoping I get to see one of those wall huggers jump out and shock the wife before the season is over.
Dang, Mark.
That's so funny. He wants to see his wife get shocked. Matthew Tyndall says, this episode might be the best so far this season. I keep thinking that every episode. Mm. The Seraphite scene was amazing. It captured the scary cult vibe perfectly. The stalker scene was also really good. In the game, they're annoying, but all you need is some cloth and alcohol, and you're good.
Totally.
Yep. They did a fantastic job of capturing the stakes of dealing with those crafty bastards. I'm also super happy that Jesse's here. I still think changing the order that they left was a bad choice because it removed any sense of urgency when Ellie and Dina first got to Seattle, but at least we're getting back on track. The spores looked amazing, and whoever created that entire set piece of the hospital basement deserves some type of award. I hope they get it. Yeah, they really should. The writers finally gave Bella something to work with in the scene with Nora, and she killed it. The main issue I have now is how the tone and pacing messed up earlier episodes. I'm super excited about the flashback next week, but it should have been a sigh of relief after a long run of tension. Right now, it feels like we are hitting the brakes when we just got started. Mm, yeah, I guess kind of.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, okay.
Okay, Ben Woods. Hi, Jason, Eric, Ben, Lucy, and other amazing hosts. Insert Pete Elani's name here.
That's you.
Ben from Tasmania, Australia here. I really like this episode. So many parts were just like the game. The Seraphites were scary, and that part was so tense. Seeing the wolf with the dog was cool. I was a little disappointed with the Jesse save, but I'm glad he showed up when he did. Those stalkers are really creepy. Ellie had better get going now that the Boy Scout has arrived. The hospital chase was cool. To see the spores in the air was horrifying. The set is incredible. So amazing. The infected in the wall was cool. I was waiting for a big jump scare, but unfortunately, we didn't get one. Bitch Nora met her end. Too bad she deserves everything she gets. The fact that Ellie uses a weapon directly from the game makes it even better. Nora explains what Joel did, and Ellie says, I know. How does Ellie know? Is there a flashback coming? Very interesting. So great to see Joel at the end. The way they both smiled at each other was heartwarming. Looking forward to hearing what you guys think. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Ben.
There was a flashback right there at the end. So, All right. And finally, Jenny from Jersey. Hello, my Last of Us comrades. Wow, what an episode. Beginning with Sergeant Park. And as she told the story of her soldiers in B2, I had no emotions. Well, I was excited to hear about spores, but other than that, nothing. That is, until the other woman, I can't remember her name, said, I'm sorry about your son. Out loud, I yelled, holy shit! Great opening. <That's> Hammerhead, by the way. I think, Hammerhan. I don't like the way she says Ellie is non-school oriented. Give the kid a break. She's a product of the federal educational system. She is treated like a dummy in the game. Oh, is she treated like a dummy in the game too?
No,
she is not. from what I remember, Ellie is pretty fucking smart in the game. Maybe they did it this way to give Dina usefulness. Yes. I say that because she's much more involved in the show, and to be fair, she was laid up on the couch face first in the garage pail most of the time in the game. Ellie, we want more Pearl Jam. I love how she's never heard of Amish people. Well, yeah. Dina's story about her mom and sister broke my heart, but I'm so proud of 8-year-old Dina for shooting that fucker.
Wow.
All right. The I love you scene was cute, but I really loved how Dina can go from all cute to badass in 2.2 seconds just with her facial expressions. I do love
because she killed someone and she was 8. That's why.
She's like, YOLO. Surrounded by runners, I nearly shit my pants. They are scary as hell and don't hold a candle to the Walking Dead walkers. But Ellie takes care of business as usual, and thank goodness for Jesse. The Seraphite's little disembowelment ritual makes me think they are not too innocent. Really? You think? In fact, I would probably label them sick fucks. Just when you think Nora is being sympathetic, she flips over to bitch mode. Spores! That is the word of this episode. Spores! Yeah,
just yell out spores.
Yes, they did it. So fucking cool. B2 was so gross with all those cordyceps lining the walls, and one dude breathing out spores was awesome. And L Park, I knew exactly who he was. Breathing out spores, tied up by cordyceps. He is alive and helpless. So cool and fucked up at the same time. I love the Nora beating.
Sorry. Didn't know you'd ever say that sentence.
Yeah, I know, right? Wow. I love the Nora beating. The fact that Ellie grabbed a pipe similar to the golf club when Joel was beating the leg and hit her in the leg repeatedly. Oh, let me make you suffer just like you made him suffer. Oh, yes, Ellie, gold star. Jason and crew, thank you for all that you do. You are appreciated. And Lucy, if you are there, no, I love you.
Aww.
You provide such interesting insights. Bye.
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 Thanks, Jenny.
Very nice.
That was a fun one.
You're dark.
Yeah, it's hilarious. That was great. Jenny from Jersey.
All right, that is our show, episode 642. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Thank you, Pilani. That was super fun. And oh, yeah. I especially appreciated your reading style. It was so good.
I felt like I had to bring it because Eric is always so good too, with the inflection and everything. So.
Yeah, I don't even try to compete, but you held your own pretty well.
Oh dear God, stop it. It was great. It was so great to chat with you again, Pialani, and to see you.
Oh, it's so good to see you both. I know, it really has been so long. The pandemic just fucked everything up in terms of relationships. So I'm so glad to be back in touch with
you. Me too. Yeah. So much fun. Well, next episode's gonna be The Last of Us Season 2, Episode 6. Here's Joel. No, I'm just kidding. We don't know the title.
Here's Joel.
Zaddy. Here's Zaddy.
Here's Zaddy.
Of course, we don't know the title, so that's funny. Mm-hmm. All right. If you want to write in or leave us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at thecastofus.com.
Yeah, and while you're there, please check out our other podcasts.
Like right now, I say Andor because Andor just wrapped up. I haven't had a chance to see the last 3 episodes, but I'm hearing very good buzz about it.
Oh, my
partly
God.
Through Eric.
It was. And, stupid! It's so incredible. It hits hard. It's so good. They did a masterful take on Andor. I'm so happy with it. Couldn't be happier.
That's great. And Jonathan and James asked to podcast on that a couple of years ago when it came out, and they came and they totally brought their A game. They were super fun. They put a bunch of Star Wars sound effects into it. Their voices are great. They're old friends. And to the point where, because we had been, it's on Star Wars TV Cast, by the way. And my friend Rich and Chris from Talking Dead podcast, three of us podcasted on The Mandalorian first, and then Jonathan and James took over for Andor, and then we came back for The Mandalorian, and everyone was like, where's Jonathan and James?
So I gotta check it out.
That sounds great. Yeah,
I highly recommend it. And let me also say, this episode is made possible by Patreon supporters like Holly M. Wilcox, who pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonKibben. Cabassi. So thank you so much to Holly and everyone else who does that. Everyone who does that gets to hear Karen and I are recording an episode of the Jason and Karen Show. So that'll be in the feed soon.
Awesome.
All right. That is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Mayardini.
In honor of Military Appreciation Month, Verizon thought of a lot of different ways we could show our appreciation, like rolling out the red carpet, giving you your own personal marching band, or throwing a bumping shindig. At Verizon, we're doing all that in the form of special military offers. That's why, this month only, we're giving military and veteran families a $200 Verizon gift card and a phone on us, with a select trade-in and a new line on select unlimited plans. Think of it as our way of flying a squadron of jets overhead while launching fireworks. Now that's what we call a celebration, because we're proud to serve you. Visit your local Verizon store to learn more. $200 Verizon gift card requires smartphone purchase, $799.99 or more with new line on eligible plan. Gift card sent within 8 weeks after receipt of claim. Phone offer requires $799.99 purchase with new smartphone line on unlimited ultimate or postpaid unlimited plus. Minimum plan $80 a month with autopay plus taxes and fees for 36 months. Less $800 trade-in or promo credit applied over 36 months. 0% APR. Trade-in must be from Apple, Google, or Samsung. Trade-in and additional terms apply.